This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more. Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
Buy or sell time. It's a little quarterback related today. Buy or sell, Mike. Ryan Staub should be the starting quarterback for the Colorado Buffaloes on Friday night at Houston.
I'm gonna buy that.
I'm gonna buy it.
There's so much doubt out there.
Yeah.
I don't think they're gonna be able to stop him from. Sorry, I just wanted to make a point.
You know what? Now I take it back. I'm not buying it. I don't want him to be the starting quarterback because then you'll just keep making the stupid thing. You just keep doing the stupid thing all the time. But Coach Prime's comments were just a little strange. Again, what's new? Texter here on that. I didn't get to it last hour. He's always so defensive and makes these kind of comments when he knows he's getting backed into a corner. The antics are getting really old now. I like Prime, but everything doesn't need to be a show. Yeah, why are you so defensive about that? You clearly played three quarterbacks. One of them finished the game, and you were standing right next to him in postgame. It's a natural question. And instead, it's who's got a solidified quarterback? I don't know. Okay. All right. Buy or sell, Jackson Brissot should get the start next game for Colorado State over Braden Fowler Nicolosi. Justin Michael reporting that Brissot is getting some reps in with the ones during practice today. I am selling that, Mike. I am selling that. I think this is who you got, for better or worse. It's BFN. I mean, if Jackson Brissot was better, wouldn't he have showed it in camp and stuff? I think BFN's your guy through the season. And fortunately, unfortunately, it's either going to cost Jay Norvell's job or it's going to save it.
I'm going to wait on this one.
You can't wait.
You got to wait.
Nope.
You got to wait through this week.
Well, it's a bye week.
Yeah, you got to wait through this week and see what happens in practice.
That is a cop-out answer.
That is a cop-out answer.
Just buy or sell. Tell me. Come on. Just be strong. I will hold you to this, though.
I will sell then.
Yeah, I'm selling.
We'll go to the default and sell.
Unfortunately for CSU, we don't have what CU just did. CU had the luxury against Delaware of playing three quarterbacks, and through that, you might have discovered, maybe this guy can do it not just in practice, but he could do it in the games. For CSU, yeah, Bullock's coming in running their Wildcat stuff and all that, but I don't think that he's the plan at quarterback. It would be Jackson Brissot next. So I'm staying with BFN. That was really bad. Now, if you see a repeat performance, same game against UTSA, then it's over. Then I think you have to go with a different quarterback. But that was by far his worst game I've ever seen. Buy or sell, Florida should have been taken out of the top 25.
I said it last hour. I'm selling. They should not be out of the top 25.
No, because if you think South Florida is that good, they lost to South Florida by two, and South Florida, all they do is beat ranked teams so far. That drops you from 13 to 26 or whatever it was.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous. It's got to be a happy medium between that idiot's 14 and out of the top 25. To me, they're in the 20s. You have to put them in the 20s.
Makes sense to me. I would put them in the 20s. That's where I would lean on that side, but Quarterback drama in the state of Colorado. I mean, Wyoming feels like they got their guy, but he escaped a potential concussion or big-time injury. He'll go against Utah, we're hearing. So, I wondered at the beginning of the season on the college front if this was going to be a rough year locally. And there's nothing in my brain right now telling me that CSU is going to be better than I thought, CU is going to be better than I thought, UNC is going to be better than I thought, maybe. I was thinking three or four wins, maybe. They got a tough schedule, though. They have, these are ranked teams they're going up against. The Big Sky is no joke. So it's a tough battle.
Yeah. Other than that guaranteed victory on November 1st against Montana State, we don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, is so many questions surround that. Is CSU that bad? Was it just the worst game CSU's ever had with all those turnovers? Or is UNC good? We don't know that answer because CSU battled against Washington and that made me think they might be better. And then that game against UNC, that's not a knock on UNC, but by rights, CSU should be 2 to 3 touchdowns better than Northern Colorado.
I think what we're seeing is a bad CSU. I think what we're seeing is a rising UNC. Whether they win 4 games on a very tough schedule or whether they win 5 or 6 games on a very tough schedule, we don't know yet. But I think this is a much improved UNC, hoping that they don't have a lot of injuries.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lineman's down and out for a while. Linebacker's out for the season, too. That's tough. Unfortunately, that's a major part of finding success on a yearly basis is staying healthy.
And you got to hope that roster's deep.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it is. I mean, they had a couple running backs out in that game, and yet we're still able to kind of run the ball well. So, yeah, quarterback stuff. Yeah, UNC's too. Peter Castelli goes down last week, and you know Eric Gibson Jr. takes over, but he looked all right. He looked okay. So we'll find out. But you just, so much of this quarterback stuff. Like, Sean Payton was irritated. Basically was asked, talk about the progression you've seen from Bo Nix at this point in his career, and Sean shut it down saying, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do the quarterback grade every single week. And Tanner was losing his mind over it today on Good Morning NoCo. He's going to get those questions all the time. Partly because of him, he's built Bo up to be maybe even better than he is right now. Because Sean's saying, like, those aren't empty words. When your head coach says, we think that, you know, in 4 or 5 years, he's going to be a top, you know, a couple years, he said, he's going to be a top 5 quarterback in the NFL. That puts extra pressure on. You know, we talked about the Jay Norvell BFN thing. When you add that kind of stuff to it, it does put even more on you. When you draft a guy early, earlier than a lot of people thought you should have, you're going to be judged on it. But it's way too early for me to even consider talking about, well, is Bo not going to do it? Is this going to turn out to be a bust? I am not there at all. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Josh Allen. I don't know if he'll get to be like those guys. But the best you can hope for, I think, is that he is not turning the ball over left and right. And he's still evolving as a quarterback. If I remember, Josh Allen wasn't great his second year, Mike. But next week will tell us a little bit more. They've got to find a way to run the ball. We talked about that a lot yesterday, at great length yesterday. Yeah. I don't know why you're not. That's going to help Bo Nix. I mean, there's not many quarterbacks, if you don't have a healthy running game, a consistent running game, there's not many of them that will be great. Yeah, Go Poke says, so you're still Bo leaving. Yeah, it was a bad game. I've seen great quarterbacks have bad games. So I'm not there. But if we're talking about this in week five, you know, remember at the beginning of the season, Mike, when I asked you, or a couple weeks ago, like, what if Bo is thrown like 10 interceptions to like four touchdowns and the Broncos are a 500 type team? Yeah, if we get to the 4-5 game mark and it's more of the same with Bo, then you're going to start talking about maybe he's going to turn out to be a bust. It's not that far-fetched. So you just can't have repeat games like that. They could lose to the Colts, but you just don't want to see it because of Bo. You know, maybe the defense gave up stuff. Maybe they don't have the personnel. I mean, we're talking about running the ball so much. Is Sean Payton seeing something else? Or is it just, I forgot about running? I need to get those two involved early, and R.J. Harvey and J.K. Dobbins. We'll see. 16 minutes after the hour. Sean Keeler of the Denver Post set to join me in just a moment. We'll talk about the Broncos' new stadium. The roof has got a lot of people in deep discussion. Also, his thoughts on the area college teams we chat about here on the whole show. We'll be right back. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sweat it, NoCo. With cooler temperatures upon us, that only means more red hot takes. A Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
With his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song.
Killing me softly with Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. I think it's sounding pretty good, Sean. What do you think?
Where's Warren Hill?
I don't know. I can't get... You talked
we
to him.
Keep trying.
You
well,
talked...
Yeah. He wants to do the show question. I have to do a whole show with him, and then I do a show with you.
Yeah, he's got to take 5 minutes of your valuable time, wear you out by the time you get on here.
I'm so tired.
It's like you're basically playing a football game and, a preseason game, and then you got to go play the real thing like the very next,
it is.
Hour.
It's like Dion gave me four snaps and then took me out and then brought me in for four more.
What's going on with that, by the way, Sean? I mean, I'm seeing all these reports that Staub's going to go, and then coach.
Here?
Yeah,
I don't see how you could not start Staub, and I was with the Broncos story yesterday, and I know we'll get into that a little bit, but if I remember correctly, he's like, oh, the Pete Tamil report, the national reports. I haven't made up my mind at all. Now he's getting the majority of the snaps. But I haven't made up my mind at all. We all kind of went. But he's getting the majority of the snaps. This is how that works. We can do the math. So it's complicated. I respect the sensitivity. I respect the cloak and dagger going into a tough kind of coin flip kind of game that you really want to get. But you've kind of got two options. Your two most talented guys don't run the Shermer offense great, right? Like, and Juju's not running anything great, to be honest. And he probably needs a red shirt. That's okay. He should be in high school. It's not his fault. But you either play Staub with Shermer and have something of a vertical passing game, or you run more Salter, and it's a lot of screens and escapes and rollouts and kind of dinking and dunking it. I don't know. It's kind of an imperfect situation.
Yeah, it really is. It's just, I look at it and go, okay, all offseason we're talking about Caden Salter, we're talking about Juju Lewis, and it's like, okay, it's those guys. I actually think it's a bad, now this isn't a knock on Staub, but if the guy we weren't talking about at all suddenly becomes the starting quarterback, I don't know what that says about your team going forward.
Well, it doesn't say anything good.
Right.
It makes you wonder what you've been doing for 4 months. and what you're seeing. But I, and it goes back to, God, it's like the oldest cliche in the book, and yet it absolutely applies to this situation, is that when you have multiple QBs, it means you don't have a QB at all. And they don't. It's just kind of all these imperfect pieces to try to make up for the best, you know, the, and you're coming off the best passing QB you ever had in Shadur, in a system that really meshed with him well, or more likely, as we talked about, Shadur had veto power. Shadur was the OC. I mean, let's be real about that. Like, it'd be like, okay, here's this. What do you want to do? I'm going to do this. Okay. And of those three guys, and I think there's some of this is what we saw last Saturday, is, and actually, you know, again, it's not all just what they do, it's what they say. Staub said, you know, on that first touchdown to Sincere Brown, yeah, we weren't to go. I didn't say, I just checked to go. I looked at it and said, yeah, we're going to do a go, because it's like, okay, here's a 5'11", 5'10", you know, Delaware corner, and I've got a 6'5 guy, power four guy. I think I'm going to check to that because I'm going to win that fight. And they won a lot of them. That wasn't what Shermer called. That wasn't what they wanted to run. I wonder if what we saw from an effectiveness standpoint that just struck out with everybody, A, yeah, it was Delaware. But B, Staub trusts his veto power. You know what I mean? I don't know that Salter would trust that he has that political clout to say no. I mean, Shadur had that clout. You know, he's in the family.
Yeah.
You know, he could do what he wants. And I'm not sure those other two QBs that were the presumed two-headed monster kind of going into this, I don't know that they feel they have that veto power. I think Staub does, because he's like, what have I got to lose? Like, I've run this before. I've been here longer than anybody. And if I think this play is garbage or is not going to work, I'm going to check us into something else. And I don't know those two guys are doing that. You know, it seems so different when he went in there and ran what he ran, you know, Staub.
Sean Keeler joining us, Denver Post. Meanwhile, in Fort Collins, Sean, and it's interesting because your article, your story, CSU football coach Jay Norvell needs to stop treating BFN like he's his BFF. We're seeing, you know, I saw Justin Michaels tweet from earlier that Jackson Brousseau is starting to get some reps with the ones right now. So that's interesting. Do we have a little bit of a quarterback competition going on in Fort Collins?
I think we need to have a quarterback competition for Collins, because we need to have a quarterback discussion in Fort Collins. And none of that is personal. I like Brayden personally, as do you. I don't know anybody who doesn't. He's a good kid. He's a nice story. Is he a better QB on the field from what you've seen than he was in Boulder 2 years ago?
No.
And that's just reality. And no one says that with like, oh, joy, stupid Rammies. No, it's like, we keep waiting for this corner to turn, and it just keeps being the same guy. And this schedule, this season, and this coaching staff, at some point, Jay Norvell is going to be coaching for his job this season. I hope that's not the case. I don't wish it upon him, but it feels like that's coming.
Yeah.
And it might be these 2 weeks.
I think so.
Like the performance shocked so many people, myself included, of just and I've been to some Iowa State, Northern Iowa games. I've been to some Iowa State, Iowa games. They're all, yeah, I'd be careful with the little brother of the little brother when baby brother, you know, brings a fight, because it's their Super Bowl. And you got to be, it's different when that's you. And, you know, CU's our Super Bowl. Well, you're UNC Super Bowl. This is a different deal. And full credit to them, because they got robbed, and that's all you need to say about that. But UTSA and Washington State, if you're, and I'm not wishing this, if you're 1-3 after these two games and you're John Weber, and I had to look at the sheet of the offer, the J contract stuff I have on hand. Let's just say this. It's going to get really, really uncomfortable. I think a split even would feel slightly uncomfortable. But if you would lose those two, and you could, you shouldn't, you probably won't, but you could. Certainly if you play like that, you will. If you're 1-3 hitting league play, I think it's going to get really loud and really nasty. And I hope I'm wrong, and I hope we don't run into that. But I'm starting to get those bad Carl Durrell vibes again, where, ooh, this is you're losing people, and now we've seen that before, and I hope it doesn't get there. But these are two big weeks after this bye that could really shape what the mood of this fan base is.
Yeah, 100%.
Which right now isn't good.
No,
right now isn't good.
No, it's pretty bad.
You've got 2 weeks to win them back, and if you don't, I think we got trouble in River City.
Well, I was going to, you know, bring up other quarterback stuff like Bo Nix, talk about that, but that's not the story surrounding the Broncos. It's the new stadium. It's the retractable roof. It's all that. That's the talk of the town now.
It is. Where are you on that? I wrote to today's paper. I'm good with it. It's, you've raised the roof without raising taxes. You kept it in the city. You're paying for it yourself. There are some fine print things that we can get into. And that your producer and I got into a little bit, but I think it's a win. There are a lot worse scenarios.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good with it. The retractable roof thing, you know what, Sean, I remember going to games and it was cold and snowy and stuff, but that was cool, whatever. But I also don't care if it's, oh, the snow. You remember the snow. I don't care. Yeah. I want to see good football.
Also, there aren't that many of those. Do you know what the average temperature of the last 15 home games
No, was? What is it?
The playoffs, last 15 Broncos home playoff games, going back to the drive, going back to January 1990, because that's all I heard on Twitter right away was two things. It was PSL and I'll miss the snow games. Okay, we'll get to the PSL things because they're right on that one. Snow games, I'm like, well, how many of those were there? The average temp is 40 degrees. I think five of the last six, it was over 42. I'm like, this is kind of a myth. I mean, it's an awesome myth. It's great. Again, child of the NFC North. The old man's a Bears fan. I love the frozen tundra. I love all that stuff. Outdoor football is great. It's the best. Outdoor playoff football is great. It's the best. It does not snow at Broncos games as often as you think it does, and not as often as you remember.
So,
the
Sean,
folk memory is greater than the fact.
Would they keep the roof open then during the games, unless it was just like one of those days where it's like negative whatever?
Yeah, I think they want to, but I think the gray area is going to be one historically in the league. This is the one downside of that, and where the contrarians are right, because this happened in Dallas a lot, is that if it's anything remotely below 20, they'll try to shut it, because then the TV folks who ultimately make the call, television will tell them, yeah, you should shut this. And they'll go, well, TV is paying for this,
yeah.
And that's that. I hope that doesn't happen, and I hope that the Penners and the Broncos, Damani Leach, whomever, push back and say, no, our threshold is it has to be like Armageddon, plague, and locusts before we shut this thing. Now, for basketball and indoor, air quote, things, yeah, sure, that's your default mode. It's the roof is there for the default indoor things. But by God, you're going to have to put a barrel sawed-off shotgun to make us shut this. TV is going to decide that, and I'm afraid TV, in a lot of cases, is going to demand it shut a lot more times than we want. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But historically, the NFL tends to do whatever the networks tell them. And I hope that isn't the case here.
So what's the negative in all this, Sean? I mean, because I'm all positive about it. I mean,
No, it's better than Lone Tree, right? It's better than Aurora. I mean, not if you live out there. I mean, it's a lot, tons of development out there by the airport. I'm parking there tomorrow before I go to Houston. Like, I could see it. And if you'd asked me 3 years ago, I would have been like, oh, it's going out by the airport. Look at all this land. Look at all this space. But the Penners, the city and the state were smart to get out in front of this 3 years ago with this organization, the new ownership, and say, well, you're clearly going to be doing this because, again, 30 or 35 years this tends to be the expiration date on a lot of these facilities. Hey, if you guys are getting out front on this and are looking to change this, let me show you something. Look at this little trail rail yard we have here. It's got a good location. It's got potential for multiple mass transit opportunities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll give the state some credit on that front for getting out front and making it more appealing to the Broncos, not just to go to where there was the most obvious plot of land, which is obviously around here. It's a development around the airport because there's just nothing but land. So I think it's good. And the negative, you asked me, what's the negative? Well, PSLs are coming.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
And it's just how basically you're about to get tariffed. You're about to get tariffed on your seats. And I have a lot of friends who are longtime Broncos season ticket holders, and they like this. They're cool with the retractable roof, but they're like, God, I'm hating this. The PSL is a dirty word. And it's coming. And I think if you are a longtime general admission kind of cheap seats, air quotes, season ticket holder, I think it's going to come as a sticker shock. And I feel really bad for those folks because I just don't see how we aren't pulled into that rabbit hole. That's just where the economics, particularly, it's a trade-off, particularly the economics of private stadium funding. These ones, as you've seen, and they come back and go, okay, we'll pay for it. It's a $1 billion facility. But we're going to stick it to the season ticket holders for the rights to come back. And then you start cutting in your fan base and making it accessible. And you cut down the points of entry for different income levels of your fan base. And that's not cool.
Yeah.
And I'll be very curious how the Penners, who haven't taken a lot of steps wrong, and when they have, Nathaniel Hackett, they course correct very quickly. I'll be very curious where they put those price points are, because again, that's a fee for just the rights to buy season tickets. I think those fees are coming. Where they set them and how they stagger them will be extremely fascinating to watch, because many sources have told me they're coming, but they also know that that's an extremely sensitive topic.
Yeah, we'll see how the ownership group reacts to that, because it seems like they do listen. They do seem to listen to the fan base. That might be something for sure. Sean, appreciate you as always. Man, great write-ups. There's a lot happening. A lot happening throughout this area. It's awesome.
There is. Look forward to talking after my Texas trip this weekend. I think we'll have plenty to talk about, too. So.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it, my friend. Keeler, appreciate you, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, dude. See ya. Bye-bye.
See ya, man. 37 minutes after the hour. Yeah, that's going to be tough for the season ticket holders, Mike, that we're paying one thing and then suddenly, you know, the price goes up on them. Yeah.
Does that mean I can have season tickets now?
You have to pay a lot. Like, basically you're paying for what you're paying for season tickets. And then with the new stadium, they got costs, you know? I mean, they're rich, but they still want to make money off of this thing. That's why you do anything. You want to make more money off of it.
I suddenly become more valuable as a producer, so I'm going to need more money.
Eastside Chris says, love how I just ignored that. But to host a Super Bowl, need retractable roof. Temperature required is average 50 degrees. Yeah. And that would be a boost for the economy pretty big. So... And the area, not just Denver. I think the entire area. 38 minutes after the hour. Oh, go ahead, Mike. What did you have?
I was going to say, don't put all the, you know, extra tariffs on the Denver Broncos fans. You know, put it on, like, the Swifties who want to come to Mile High Stadium.
Yeah, just charge them quadruple.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. All right, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. How did eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head? This is where I grew up. I picked the prison and fixed it up.
There's one rule of The Whole Show.
Look at these photograph.
He's not to play Nickelback. Yes, I am that guy that became anti-Nickelback. I actually, their first album, go look it up. It's not bad. And then it just got a little poppy for me, for the most part. So that song.
We were singing this.
That
like,
song was like all
for
the rage.
An hour.
Well, it gets stuck in your head. It's so bad that it's like kind of an earworm.
It's like the Room of movies.
That the Room.
Hooligans. I've never seen it.
Oh, I've seen parts of it. Did you? I watched the movie about the Room. Wasn't it Seth Rogen directed it? Maybe I don't.
Yeah, something like that.
They made the movie about the movie The Room, which is the worst movie ever. It is awful. I used to watch. It would play on like Adult Swim on Cartoon Network. That and I would just watch snippets of it. I'm like, what is this? It's so bad. And it's so bad that it's actually pretty good. It's just, it's amazing. I don't know if that was on purpose. I don't think it was.
I don't think it was either.
No, you should watch it, though. And then watch the making of the movie, of how they did it. Just a really rich guy that a lot of people, who was it, Andy Kaufman? There was like a big old weird rumor that that dude was just Andy Kaufman, that he never died and he just became... But I don't think so. That'd be cool if it was true, though.
I can see the whole Andy Kaufman didn't die. There was a woman a few years ago who claimed to be Andy Kaufman's secret daughter. I don't think that's true, but I could see that him going, I'm suddenly people's enemy now. I'm just going to fake my death and live on and laugh at everybody because they think I'm dead.
Yeah, I could totally see that. That was his humor because he already faked his death once.
Yeah, Man on the Moon is such a good movie.
Dude, and that movie was crazy, too. Like, the Netflix thing on Jim Carrey and how he became... He requested, I borderline ordered Andy Kaufman's parents to basically call him Andy Kaufman, and the parents went along with it. It was weird, man. That whole thing was weird, and Jim Carrey like became that dude. And the funny thing about that movie is he had to play two different guys because you're Andy Kaufman and then you're his alter ego, the guy that whatever that dude's name was that would go out and perform and stuff. So he, when he was locked into a certain character, he would stay locked in. These actors are weird, man. Just weird. All right, Mike. I don't talk a lot of news on this show, but It's some pretty significant news here. Charlie Kirk, who is a public speaker, he's really famous for going to college campuses and basically just debating students. It's very fascinating to watch. He has been shot at an event, and he's been shot in the neck. I'm looking for updates as much as possible here, but this is just goes without saying. This is just absolutely disgusting. I believe they have arrested the person, an older gentleman, responsible for this. But just awful, awful stuff. And I'm praying for Charlie Kirk. I don't know Charlie Kirk. Like I said, his stuff will come across on my feeds once in a while, and their debates, and sometimes they're pretty good. I think he was on with Bill Maher recently, and I enjoy watching Bill Maher on that, where he's sitting on the couch and they're just drinking and doing whatever. Charlie Kirk didn't. But I think that show is fascinating. I think it's fascinating when we disagree and we can have conversations, and Charlie Kirk maybe is leading that. And yet the response from some crazy ass person is to kill him, to try to kill him. He's not reported dead, but that was the intent at this point. So it's just absolutely disgusting. And we had this over two summers ago with President Donald Trump. And I mean, Tanner, I was talking to Tanner, it's like 24 years since 9/11. And in a span of about a year and a few months, we've had an assassination attempt of a president and an assassination attempt. So far, it's an attempt of a very famous public speaker. Just disgusting.
Well, I don't understand these gunmen. It's like, You do realize you're hurting your own argument. Whatever side of the aisle you're on, you're hurting your own argument.
Right.
Like, you're not helping at all.
No.
Shooting someone doesn't
because
help
you. Because you disagree with them is what you're doing. Just absolutely disgusting, Mike.
You don't learn as much from people that you agree with. You learn more from people that you disagree with.
Like I said, I watch Bill Maher. I don't always. I'm not really on one side of the political spectrum, but I do have a certain side I agree with a little bit more. And I guess that goes with probably more of a conservative thinking person. But I think Bill Maher, his shows, I grew up watching those shows. I disagreed with a lot, but I was fascinated by the conversations.
He had some good conversations. Absolutely. He still does.
And Charlie Kirk does. I mean, it's like there was a viral picture of Charlie Kirk and Bo Nix recently, and people were flipping out about that. And it's like, we got to stop judging people based on all of their political views. It's just absolutely insane. And this is the ultimate gross.
You can be friends with someone who has differing political views. If you can't be like that, like if you don't like someone who has a certain political view, just don't talk about politics. Talk about sports.
Yeah, go away from it.
That's what sports is for.
Yeah. 49 minutes after the hour. What do we learn? Coming up next, this is just a devastating situation going on. Whole show continues. We'll be right back.
You want Broncos games and coverage? Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA all season.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what do we learn on this Wednesday? We learned we have quarterback issues. We have quarterback issues in the state right now. Hopefully, things get resolved after a positive weekend. Starts with CU at Houston on Friday night. Is it Staub? Probably going to be, but Coach Prime's not giving that away. Mike, what'd you learn?
I learned that basically the same thing.
Okay. Thank you for that. Dynamite drop in. We'll be back at it. Uh-oh. On a Thursday. Thursday night special. Mr. Thursday night's 1-0, Mike. 1-0. Good night, Northern Colorado.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.